1 Peter 3. The title and the subject here is the sufferings of Christ and his people. Not that they are equal, by no means. Our Lord's, he has the preeminence, and his sufferings for us were meritorious. He, by his suffering, we are saved. Our sufferings are not merit, but our sufferings are out of love to him and because of his mercy to us, he said. It was Simon Peter and one of the other apostles that were beaten. They were whipped for preaching the gospel. And it says they both went home or went back to the church rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were happy. They were hurting. They had stripes on their back, but they were laughing and singing and glad, especially Simon Peter, since he had denied his Lord as he did, and was so ashamed of himself. And then the Lord gave him an opportunity to speak for him, and he did it. And the Lord, and he was whipped for it, and he was glad that he didn't betray him like Judas. Look at verses 10 through 12 again. He that will love life, see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, the righteous. Now you know this well, that to be counted of God righteous is to be found in Christ. You know that. He's our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. All of God's people know that. And by the Spirit of God, not any work which we have done, but he makes us righteous. He makes us like Christ. There's a new creature in every one of his people. They're righteous like Christ. Our hope of eternal glory is Christ, isn't it? Christ is our hope. And it says that Christ in you is the hope of glory, a new creature in Christ. All right. And verse 13 says, who is he that will harm you if he be followers of that which is good? There is none good but God. That which is holy, just, and right. That's our God, isn't it? That's his Son. We follow him. We're followers of the Lamb. But we also walk in his footsteps, in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Not our doing, but he hath put us in his way. He hath put his way in us. So they are righteous. God's people are righteous. They're holy, they're just, they're unblameable, unreprovable. They're like Jesus Christ. Though none of them can see it in themselves, they don't see it. They mourn over their lack of it. Yet they see it in other people. They see it in their brethren. But the Scriptures calls them people that God has redeemed that are zealous of good works. Zealous of good work. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God's people, none of them acknowledge any work that they do at all. They just don't see it. But here's what the Lord said in his Sermon on the Mount. He said of his people, Matthew 5, he said, you're the light of the world. That is, Christ in us is that reflected light. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what he said, didn't it? That's what Jesus Christ said. And so that's, of created unto good works for God's glory. God's glory. We don't trust in those. We don't look to those. Matter of fact, we have a hard time finding it in ourselves. But they're there. Like the people that our Lord commended for doing what they did for Him or whomever. He said, you've done it for the least of these. You've done it unto me. And they all said, His people said, when? I don't ever recall doing anything but sin. That's what God's people think. But no, the Lord said, no, you have. You have. And so we don't look at these things. We don't look to them. We don't really look for them. But they're there. All right? And as the world becomes more and more perverted, they call evil good and good evil. As it becomes more and more, further and further away from the truth, from God's Word, to where men have just totally thrown out God's Word completely, any law, any whatever, God's people are strange people in this world. Look at chapter 4. This next week it says, verse 4, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Do-gooders. Did you read Dad's article? You bunch of do-gooders. What's wrong with that? I want to do good. I've done enough evil. Do-gooders. And that's what the world, bunch of... They're straight. Well, I want to be straight, don't you? I want to walk the straight, narrow path that leadeth unto life, don't you? I want the Lord to straighten me out. Sure do. And He says you're going to suffer for it. Look at verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Rather than what we're doing right now is a good thing. It doesn't get any better than that. This is good. Good. Good place to be, a good thing to do. It's our reasonable service, but it's our delight, our joy. It's God. God's worthy to be worshipped. Christ is worthy to be worshipped. I'm so glad that I want to be here. There was a time I didn't want to be here. Now I do. And why am I here? Because He chose me to be here, to worship Him. But, verse 14, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy. Be glad. Don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, you know. We were spoken evilly of for meeting together at a time when, you know, they didn't want anybody meeting. And it was a real blessing. It's been a real blessing ever since, ain't it? Huh? Aren't you glad? We're just doing what God tells us to do. For not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together for any reason. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Boy, didn't we need it. Don't we need it? But now, it says suffering for righteousness' sake. This is principally talking about suffering for the truth's sake, for Christ's sake, for contending for the truth of Christ's righteousness and no one else's. That's what this is talking about more than anything else. Okay? If you suffer for Christ's sake, look at chapter 4, verse 14. It says, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, oh, be happy. For the glory of Christ, happy. Spirit of God rests upon you. Our Lord said that in His Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for my glory's sake, for my truth's sake, for my gospel's sake. If they call the gospel you preach doctrine of devils, be happy, because that's what they said about him. That's what they said about John. He had the devil. Oh no, he had the spirit from his mother's womb. What did John talk about? Christ. That's all he could talk about. In fact, before he was born, he leapt in the womb. when he heard of Christ. That's how you know Christ is in us. That's how you know Christ is among us. We don't want to do anything else, talk about anyone else. We sure don't want to talk about our works, but his. That's how you know God's true people from those who just claim to be. That's how you know where the Spirit of God is. Be happy. Be happy. Suffer for righteousness' sake. That's his sake. Christ is our righteousness. Surely, Isaiah 45 says, surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness. Here I am. I'm one. Anybody else? Go ahead and say it.
Amen.
Me too. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness. Mine are filthy rags. David said in Psalm 71 over and over and over and over again, he said, I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. David was a righteous man. David did the right thing and he suffered for it. Yes, he did. But he said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Christ is my righteousness. David's the one that wrote Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, never lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. Who's going to be there? And in Psalm 24 he says, look, here comes a king of glory walking right through the gate. Look behind him, hanging onto him, a train of people dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless to stand before the throne. Yes, it's his righteousness and his own. And you tell men that, and you tell them, every work you've ever done doesn't account for nothing. Nothing. I told my neighbor that, and she got so mad at me. And to this day, she wants me dead. You can't believe what all she's stood in our yard and cursed my wife. Cursed her in front of the neighbors. Why? Because I told her that nothing you've ever done accounts for anything but only Christ. Well, happy. Happy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, he said. Don't be troubled. So persecuted today, the prophets before you. Verse 15, I like this. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can you give a reason of the hope within you? Can you give a one-word reason? Christ. That says it all, doesn't it? Christ. That's all you need to know. He's the only one you need to know. You know, Christ, he's all my hope. Sanctify the Lord God. I like that. In Isaiah 8, it says this. He says, he said, don't join this confederacy, a bunch of rebels against God. Don't fear their fear. Don't be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and be your dread. And he shall be, if he is, he'll be a sanctuary and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. But for you, solid rock on which you stand. And you'll not be moved. You just stand firm right there on Christ's solid rock. Contend for the truth. Don't join with the confederacy. There's a worldwide conspiracy and confederacy against God, against his anointed. Let's break their bands asunder. He that sits in the heaven laughs. So we serve the Lord. We rejoice with trembling. So he says, everyone that asks you a reason, to do it with meekness, not pride. Meekness, humility, considering thine own self, remembering who you, where the Lord found you, what you are. What he's done, and fear of the Lord. Verse 16, having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Our conversation's in heaven. Our conversation is of Christ. I like 1 Corinthians 2:17, I think. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Paul said, we're not as many that corrupt the word of God. Live faithfully with it. Preach it. But as of sincerity, as in truth, as of sincerity, as of truth, in the sight of God, we speak, we preach Christ. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not to God. So our conversation, our preaching, everything we do really is in and of Christ. Verse 17, it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's better. That's for sure. I've suffered enough in my life because of my sin and my ignorance, my shame. And probably will suffer some more because of it, and others will suffer because of mine, and vice versa. But for once, I'd like to suffer for His name's sake. And whatever we go through, whatever trial and tribulations and troubles, if we'll take it patiently, if we'll endure it patiently, if we'll give God all the glory in it, that's why He sends these things, so that we'll bear witness of Him. It's the Lord. All that God sent Job's way. He sent the Sabaeans take all his cattle and all that. The Chaldeans take away all that. And then the wind came and blew the house down and killed all his children. God killed all his children. Took everything from him. And then the Lord had Job smitten. The Lord smote Job physically himself with boils, painful. He couldn't sit or lie down from his bottom of his feet to the top of his head. The Lord did all that. And Job never said once, I hate those Sabaeans, or those Chaldeans did this, or the wind did that. He said, the Lord did it. And it said, in all this, Job sinned not with his lips. And we sin with our lips. Whenever we complain, whenever we murmur, whenever we don't take, when we don't give God the glory. Like I said, we need to start saying, the Lord sent rain instead of it rained. The world takes rain for granted, don't they? Let it not be so of us. Let's say the Lord mercifully and graciously sent rain in this dry and thirsty land. Praise His holy name. Well, it's flooding. Well, it ought to. It ought to just wash us all away. But God is rich in mercy. Yeah, our vocabulary, our conversation ought to be in heaven of God, His glory, that sanctify Him before everybody, not sin with our lips. Now, look at this. This is the heart of it. Talking about suffering. He's already said in chapter 2 that Christ did no sin. When He was reviled, He reviled not again, but He suffered. Verse 24, chapter 2, He bare our sins in His own body. He took our sins in His body on the tree, made a curse for us. The handwriting of ordinances are against us. The crimes that we committed, He took the punishment for them. You know what the two hardest things for a human being to do, and maybe they're impossible, is to bear someone else's blame and give somebody else the credit for something we've done. Not take the credit. Give them all the credit for something you did and take all the blame for something wrong they did. That's impossible for us to do. That's exactly what Christ did, both cheerfully, for the joy set before Him. I'll take the blame. I'll do it. I'm guilty. I'm the one. Hold me accountable. Let them go free. Give them what I earned. Give them my reward. Give it to them gladly. I'll do that. What glory. Verse 18 in our text, Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Oh, brethren. Christ suffered for the just for the unjust. He died for Barabbas. Barabbas. That man never did a good thing in his life. He did only evil against everybody. The thief on the cross. Christ the just died for that unjust fella. Everybody in town wanted that thief dead. Christ said, no, he's going to live. No, this is what I came for. Him? You're going to die for him? Yes. Isn't that amazing? Oh, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, for a good man, but God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. That's amazing. That's amazing, grace. Just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Think about it. He said of that thief, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today. That means Christ did not go to hell after he died. He went to paradise. Right? Today. All right, Christ comes walking. The thief came walking through. But Christ came in and said, here he is. Father, here he is. And the whole place erupted, Brother Kim. Look, there he is. Who? Who did he bring to God? Who did Christ bring to God? A thief. But wait, look at him. He doesn't look anything like he used to. Look at him. He's dressed in white. He's beautiful. Well, his Lord has these scars on his head, and his hands, on his feet, and his side. Someone said to me one time, if I'm a sheep, I'm a black sheep. Sister, all of us are. That's the only kind of sheep he saves, black ones, to make them white, to the praise of the glory of his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. He's going to show us. Look who he brought to God. You don't want him, do you? Surely you're not going to die for him or her, are you? That one? You don't want that one. Yeah. That one's going to bring me great glory. Nobody, everybody knows that fella cannot save himself. He's a hopeless cause. Now watch what I do for him. Watch what I do to him. That's shouting ground. Go ahead. Put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. Now look at these verses, and so many people are so confused by these, and I don't know why. God's people ought not be confused. The language is a little different, but verse 19, by what? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Christ went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime or one time, long time ago, were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few were, that is, eight souls were saved by water. And so many think that Christ went, after he died, he went into hell and preached to people in hell. Why would he do that? There's no hope for them. The gospel's a message of hope, isn't it? And he that believeth shall be saved. Why would he go preach? They already heard him preach. Right? They already heard. And there's no more sacrifice for sin for those people. That's not what that's saying. He's talking about the Spirit of Christ who was in the Old Testament. And all the prophets, all the preachers in the Old Testament preached by the Spirit of Christ. What did they preach? Christ. And he's talking about Noah. And Peter said it in 2 Peter 2 verse 5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was the preacher in whom the Spirit of God preached through to those people back then who were disobedient, who rejected the truth, who rejected what Noah was preaching, righteousness. And so God put them in hell. He said those that are now in prison, when Noah was preaching, he preached to them. He preached to them. All right? By the Spirit of Christ. He preached to them. The days, verse 20, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And Peter is the one that's going to say, brethren, the long suffering of God is salvation. Noah preached 100 years while he was preparing that ark. He preached 100 years, not 120. I've always been wrong about that. It's 100 years. 100 years. One thing, didn't it? Same message every day, day in and out. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God will punish sin, warning people of sin. Repent. Judgment coming. But there's mercy with God. There's salvation with God. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Before the ark was finished, get in the ark. What's that mean? Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know good and well if Noah was a preacher of righteousness, he's preaching Christ. He's preaching the Messiah's coming. God is holy. God will by no means clear the guilty. But God is merciful. But God is gracious. But God is ready to pardon. And there's only one way, and that's God's Messiah. That's the woman's seed. That's the smitten rock. Well, that didn't happen yet. But Noah preached, didn't it? Come to Christ. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. That ark is such a picture. Now I have about 5 minutes to talk about Noah's ark. I was planning on spending 20. The ark of Noah is mentioned so much in the scriptures. Peter mentions it in the first letter and the second letter. It's such a picture. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he mentions it. In chapter 2, the world overflowed, perished with water, perished by water, but there were 8 people saved by water. What's water? It's the Word of God. It's all the promises of God. God's people walked through this Red Sea on dry ground, solid rock, and the water was a wall unto them. On both sides, it cannot come down upon them. All the promises of God in Christ are yea. Over here, this wall is yea, and over here, John, is amen. And all past, we were on vacation, 8 of us. 9 years ago. It was 9 years ago. No? 2009 it was. Oh, you do the math. Anyway, there were 8 of us. Okay? Mac and Margaret. Kelly and Papa. Ron and Tammy. Mindy and I. How many is that? Is that 8? Okay. Anyway, we were all there. This was before Mixler. So I thought we got to have a service, a worship service Sunday morning. And I thought, what better passage to preach than about these 8 souls saved? You remember that? And we looked at it, and we rejoiced, didn't we, Margaret? But one of us has passed clean over. He's on the other side. And you know what he'd tell you? It's okay. It's solid rock, brethren, sisters. Keep looking. Keep walking by faith. Stay together now. We got a good hope, a sure hope. All his promises are true. Keep looking. Keep walking. Time is short. If you're in Christ, that's on Christ, the solid rock. If you're in Christ, the ark, that's why Paul said, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own life, but covered by him. That ark, oh, I need an hour. That ark was made of gopher wood, wasn't it? Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. That ark, had rooms in it. How many? Room enough for all. They're in there. Rooms. Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. You reckon a skunk came walking up the door and said, you reckon I could come in there? Oh, yeah. Come on in. You and your wife. Right? Come one, come all. There's room. There's room. But no vacancies. There won't be any vacancies. Room for all. Black, white, red, no Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, male, female, in Christ, they're all one. Come one, come on. Come on in. Rooms, 3 stories high. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These 3 are one. The Word, the flesh, the blood, Spirit. These 3 are one in Christ. Had one window. One window. You look out that window, you see things like they really are. Right? You look out that window in that ark, and what you'd see is a perishing world overflowed. And it'd make you thankful you're inside. What? The light of the world. Right. One door. One way in. One way in. And every animal knew they were in there because Noah, whose name means rest, Christ, I rest. Noah brought them all in. He went out, chose every single animal that was going into that ark. He chose them, and he brought them, come down into the ark. And they were all in there, and they all heard that door shut them in. They were shut up to faith. Shut up to faith. What was that meant? Well, you're going to shut your mouth and anything you about yourself. You're going to shut your mouth, and if they ask you, why are you there? You're going to say, Christ. If I'm in here, it's because Christ brought me. If I don't go out, it's because he kept me.
Amen.
And he talks about the light figure baptism to save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. You see, every single person, those 8 souls, they went in unto Noah in the ark. 7 souls went in to Noah in the ark, and the Lord God shut them in. They all came and went in, and the water covered, when it was raining, it was a deluge. And that ark was covered. The wrath of God, that water represents the wrath of God. And the same word of God that promises salvation says, I'm going to smite Egypt, and he did, and he will. That water is going to make damnation to those that don't trust Christ. But that ark, you see, for the people inside, that ark took all the wrath of God, all the rain of God, all the wrath of God that rained down upon, should have been on Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, fell on that ark. And that ark was covered by the wrath of God. And they were inside that ark, immersed. They were covered, but they were dry. They were dry. Not one drop fell on them. It all fell on Christ. That's what baptism's a picture of. And every one of them were in that ark, and it's a picture of baptism. And every single person that believes Christ, they're told to confess him. And they do. Anybody that won't, anybody that doesn't and won't, is not going to be saved. They must be ashamed of Christ. Well, you're not going to be with him that day. So it doesn't put away flesh, but it's a good conscience. A conscience convicted of sin. A conscience by the law, convicted. Mouth stopped. Slain. A conscience that's purged from dead works. It's clearly showing us it's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's according to his mercy he saved me. There's nothing I've done. It's all that Christ did. Everything he did and all that he bore for me. That's my salvation. And that's what baptism is saying. It's a good conscience. It's a good conscience. That Christ is proud of. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. Hopefully my sins were put away. And when he rises, when he arose, I rose. And when he's coming back, I want to hope he bring me with him, take me with him. That's what baptism says. And it says in verse 22, and I close, Christ is gone into heaven. He's on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And that's what he does for his people. Right now, on this earth, they're made subject to him. They bow at his feet. No, they worship him who loved them, washed them of their sins in his own precious blood. God be the glory. Okay.